glad you're here. We're glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Hi, listening friend. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's March 5th, 2014. Joining me in the studio, co-host, good friend, Pastor Jason Schiffo, senior pastor at the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet, Illinois. I appreciate you, Jason, carving out time, making it into the studio. You've been a co-host on Wednesday and Friday for a couple of years now, so thank you.
It's been a while.
Participating. Joey Kroll emailed me the other day. He came by, actually, and picked up a microphone. I wasn't here. I had to leave it in the door. And he said, you know, Mark, it's been just about 4 years. And I'm like, wow. So thank you, God.
He wants some cupcakes.
Yeah, no, I should have left him a cupcake out there. But so appreciate how God has raised up different people to assist with this radio ministry. One being Steve Carmichael, who's helping with our community appreciation concert that's coming at the end of this month on Saturday night, March 29th. And we've entitled it Classics and Hymns Tour, featuring Steve Green, Twyla Paris, Jan Mulder, and the Singing Men of GNN. And we're going to have the doors opened a little earlier. I think the program begins at 7 o'clock, but we'll open up the doors at 6 p.m., and they'll sing, and we'll have somebody on the mighty Wurlitzer organ. And so we'll be kind of the pre-concert entertainment. And then
warm them up.
Yeah, we'll warm everyone up. And then I think when they open up with Steve Green and Twyla Paris, at some point we'll come back on stage and we'll sing, I think, 4 or 5 backup songs with those two artists. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Tickets are only $15 and can be purchased at the Virginia Theater by calling 217-356-9063, 217-356-9063, or logging on to thevirginia.org, thevirginia.org. And if you tuned in Monday and Tuesday, you heard my conversation from 2 years ago with Steve Green, but it was a great one to pull out of the archives and re-air his testimony, some of his childhood memories, and a humble heart, how he's continued to allow God to work through him, in and through him, and appreciate his heart and his musical ministry. And so hopefully we'll get an update from him in a couple of weeks.
A lot of great places to eat around there, too. So like a good little date night, you could go out and grab something to eat and then walk over to the theater and see the show.
Yeah, that'll be 29th. We hope to sell out the Virginia Theater. Get your tickets now. And speaking of date nights, we had mentioned this in the past, but this Friday and next Friday, our Genesis study will continue, and that'll be a good date night. And Dos Reales, I think they're going to be providing the nacho chips and that white cheese salsa, and then that white cheese mix and chips. For those of you that want to attend the Genesis study, come on, just drop in. It begins at 6:30 at the Judah Christian School in Champaign, right on Prospect Avenue. And there's about 50 or 60 of us that gather. We've been studying the first couple chapters of Genesis, and you're all welcome to attend. So it'll be this Friday night, the 7th, that's March 7th, and then the 14th will be the two dates this month that we'll be gathering. Come join us for an evening of Bible study with a lot of great people. And Jason, I've been appreciating your time and investment in that group, and who knows what we're going to teach next. We'll probably have to recalibrate you after some vacation time and get you into something maybe during the spring or summer. Oh, Romans. Yeah, you've been hot for Romans for a while.
I have. I've been reading Romans. I've been loving it.
So Genesis study, call and just let us know so we can order additional fixins from Dos Reales. Actually, they're going to be providing them free of charge. We appreciate the people at Dos Reales. They're on Prospect Avenue, just north of Judah Christian School. And then Columbia Street Roastery continues to provide like 3 or 4 blends of coffee. So those will be all provided for this Genesis study Friday night. Call us if you need more information, 217-367-7777. Now, as you were praying, I wrote down a word, more.
More.
Are you saying maybe I need more of God, or should I be satisfied with what he's provided through his Spirit, through his Word, and be just content in flourishing with what he's given me already?
Well, it depends on how you define more, I guess, is probably the real question. I mean, do you define your Christianity as kind of a buffet where I got a plate and I'm going to eat some of what I got on my plate, but I want to go up and get some more because I want to try that, and I want to try that, and I want to try that, and I want to try that? And, I mean, we kind of live in that culture, don't we? I mean, you go to a Christian bookstore, and man, I mean, the amount of Bible studies there are that you can do, and I think they're all good. Don't get me wrong, because I'm a part of some, doing some of them. But I think that sometimes, is it enough what God has given to us? Is it enough, or even do we engage what God's given us? I mean, God has given us his Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but I think we could probably spend our whole life trying to work that one out. And that's just one facet of it. I mean, and then our response to some of that, which is our prayer and our lifting up our words to God, and we could spend a whole lifetime on just trying to figure out what that is all about. And then reading and discerning and trying to understand, or even just reading and discerning what God's word tells us and commands us. I mean, that's a whole another lifetime. So if we start to talk about all this, we can understand why we maybe often struggle with doing different areas of our Christian life, because they are, in a sense, overwhelming. But I think they're overwhelming because we are demanding something of them that we don't need to, or that we ought not to demand of them. I mean, you know, we come to God's word with some preconceived notion that we're going to get something from it, that God is going to feed us through it. And he is going to feed us through it, but maybe he's just going to plant a seed that's going to come. I've read God's word and got done and go, okay, well, that was really great. And then not had like some uber spiritual moment. And then maybe a week down the road, that kind of popped back out. And God used it in a powerful way. But I think sometimes our preconceived notion is, because we live in this culture where, like, I drive up to the window and my food comes out of it and I'm instantly satisfied. And so I think, too, in our spirituality, we almost feel the same way, as, like, am I going to be instantly satisfied or instantly moved or instantly impacted by my reading of Scripture today? And for some of you, I'm going to be honest with you, that's why you have not read some of those books in the Bible. That's why you have not read books like Lamentations, or when you get to Leviticus in your yearly reading plan, you kind of trudge through it, or Numbers. Or, you know, there's certain books where you're just like, I don't know about that one. I'm just going to make my way through it. Because if we're honest, we've probably all had some sort of impactful moment as we've read the Gospels. We've read the story of Jesus. It's touched us in a deep way. Maybe in a way, if you're just really honest, that Leviticus struggled to touch you, because, mm-hmm. you know, you're reading about how to get rid of mildew and things like that, and you're going, I don't know. I mean, I just didn't.
Is that a red hair or a brown hair?
Yeah. I mean, you're just like, I don't know about this. I mean, I'm just not feeling it. You know, but you read about the crucifixion and you can't help but well up in tears, because in that moment you realize that God's grace was there in the moment of your greatest iniquity. And he was sacrificing himself in such a way that we wouldn't sacrifice ourselves for anybody. And so, yeah, I think that we come to Scripture and we come to all those things and we demand something of it that we shouldn't. We should be, it's enough. It's enough. What God has offered me is enough. And, yeah. So
and I think we squander, and that's the word that came to mind. I wrote that down, squander, and then Paul being content in all things, so kind of like the opposites. But we can sit there and think and pray, and then God may breathe a concept or a thought into our mind, and then we allow all these other competing interests to kind of remove it out of us. God might have spoken to us, and then, oh yeah, I got to go and do this today, I got to accomplish this. And it's like he's almost saying, you know, Mark, I just shared some truth with you, I want you to think about it. And you allowed all of life to pull it out of your mind, or take it away from, you know, the intention that I had for you. And I think so many times we can allow other competing interests where we squander the truth that he just breathed into us. And it's like, oh, Lord, yeah, I think when we pray and just engage with him, it would take a lifetime, and yet we squander that, I think.
Well, how about this, too? Sometimes we build systems that sound really, really great around ourselves that actually do that too. They squander, or they kind of pull us from it, or they give us the I would say this, they give us an improper lens to view it from. On Sunday morning at our church, I made this comment, and I don't know if it was popular or not popular, but somebody did email me and tell me that they really appreciated that I made the comment. But I engaged this whole movement of, and I don't know if it's as big now or not big, because these kinds of things I don't pay attention to, but the whole what would Jesus do type thing. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of people who talk about that, and they think about it. Well, what would Jesus do? What would you, they got the bracelet, they got a T-shirt, they got a car. You know, what would Jesus do? And I said, you know, that's positive to ponder. That's powerful to ponder. But let me just be honest with you.
You're not Jesus. No.
You can't do what Jesus did. You know, and on Sunday morning I was talking about Romans chapter 8, where it says that Jesus came in the likeness of sinful flesh. So Jesus looked a whole lot like us, but he was totally unlike us. You know, he looked like us. He looked like he had the same flesh of our flesh. He looked like he had the same kind of bone of our, but he wasn't the same as us, because Jesus was able to keep the letter of the law in a way we never could. And so while Jesus looked like us, he was only in the likeness of sinful flesh. So when we say, what would Jesus do? It's unhealthy to do it because you can't do what Jesus did. But see, you're asking something of Jesus. You're asking something of the Spirit that you can't ever hope to accomplish because you're not Jesus. You know, what would Jesus do? That's imitation, not impartation. And impartation is when God gives us his Spirit. It's what he's done to us. You know, and God let his Spirit be inside. So if I'm not in impartation and I'm doing like, you know, what would Jesus do? Then what I'm trying to do is imitate what Jesus did. And I can't do that. I can't do that because I have a war inside of me that's being waged between my carnal man, the man inside of me that's saved and regenerate but still wants to do everything in his own strength, and my spirit man who wants to allow the Spirit 100% to dominate, lead, guide, and to bring fruitfulness to my life. But a lot of us go, well, I want more. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to imitate God's goodness. And it's a goodness that you can't attain. So we rest in imitation instead of impartation. God has given us his Spirit. I joked on Sunday morning, though I'm going to be honest with you, it's going to be more than a joke, because sometimes when I joke, I actually move into the realm of seriousness. But I said,
many a truth come out in jest.
I'm just telling you, when I say something, just don't count on it, because you never know what might happen. But I said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to get some bracelets made that are going to say, WCID, what can't I do? Because that's really where we need to rest. We need to rest in the fact that in this moment, I can't do it. And so it's all about what God has given me, what he's imparted into me, which is his Holy Spirit who can do immeasurably more than I can know and imagine. And so I think we need to remember that. Because how many of you have been on the phone like with a telemarketer and they call? And are you going like, oh, Jesus, like, just go the extra mile here? No, you're like, you want to hang up. You don't want to do what Jesus did. In that moment, if you're going to last and you're going to have grace in those moments, it's only going to be because God's Holy Spirit is going to allow you to do that. Not anything you can do in your own strength.
So do we still strive to, like, model ourselves after Christ? I'm trying to think where, you know, Paul's beating his body, and I'm trying to make a distinction because we want to have the fragrance of Christ. We want to mirror Christ to a hurting world. So explain a little more. We don't want to imitate. We want to...
Right. It's not imitation. It's impartation. Look, this is what's funny is that we read Romans chapter 8 and we love Romans chapter 8 because Romans chapter 8 has things like we know that that those who love God, all things work together for good, and those who are called according to his purpose. And we love that, you know, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, then who can be against us? But in order to read Romans chapter 8 and in order to rest in the glory of what Romans chapter 8 is, we have to first read Romans chapter 7. And Romans chapter 7 is one that we don't read that often. You know, where Paul says in 7 and verse 18, he says, for I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh, for I have the desire to do what's right, but not the ability to carry it out. He says, now if I do what I do not want, and it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. And Paul's not speaking from ignorance. Paul's speaking from experience, because earlier in Romans chapter 7, in verse 7 and 8, he says, you know, the law says you shall not covet. He says, but sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment produced in me, Paul's talking about himself, all kinds of covetousness. So the problem is that we read Romans chapter 8 and we get all hepped up because Romans chapter 8 is the Christian declaration of freedom. But the problem is we don't read Romans chapter 7, which Romans chapter 7 is the problem that we have and how God alleviated the problem through his Spirit and his Son, Jesus Christ. So Paul says, look, there's no good that dwells in me. I have desires to do what's right, but I can't even accomplish those things. I can't carry them out. In fact, it builds from verses 14 on through like a crescendo until he gets to verse 24 where Paul screams out, wretched man am I, who will deliver me from this body of death? And by the way, there's a lot of conversation where people say, well, this is an unregenerate Christian. This is not an unregenerate Christian. You know why? Because people who are in the midst of sin, who are unregenerate, who are the natural man, those people, they don't cry out, oh, wretched man am I. They glory in their wretchedness. They glory in that place that they're in. So they're not screaming out in their sin like, oh my gosh, who will deliver me? They might be crying out like, who will deliver me a pizza? But they're not crying out, who will deliver me from my sin? Paul cries out in Romans chapter 7, who will deliver me from this sin? And then he says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Right away, he's like at the crescendo, how is this possible? through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then he goes, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. And then he goes, therefore there is no condemnation in Christ. He begins to move into the fact that, look, there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. I said on Sunday morning, this is the verse, without a doubt, I recite more than I do to anybody, people, all week long. There's no condemnation in Christ. There's no condemnation. You know what? I just think Jesus is really mad at me. Let me tell you what he told me yesterday. No, there's no condemnation in Christ. That wasn't him. You know, but Jesus told me I'm a loser. No, there's no condemnation in Christ. That wasn't him. Let me tell you what Jesus' voice looks like. Jesus' voice sounds like this. Wow. That really hurt, didn't it? I mean, let's get back up. Let me help dust you off. You know, I love you. My grace is sufficient in this moment. Let's give it another try. Let's give it another try, but a little less of you and a lot more of me. That's what the Jesus voice sounds like. When you hear the voice that comes and goes, you loser, you're always such a loser. You always fail. I can't believe you. That's the other guy. Remember when Job's wife started cursing him? That was the other guy guiding the conversation. That was not Jesus. That was not God. But a lot of us, we get the two mixed up because we think, well, you know, if I'm saved and I'm a Christian, there must only be this voice that can speak to me that's Jesus. No, the other guy is right there. He's trying to inject himself, as he did way back in Genesis chapter 3, trying to inject himself into your creative order, into the creative dominion of your life. And so what happens is you start to listen to that. You know why? Because the broken, sinful self, the war that happens inside of you goes, yeah, it's true. I'm a loser. I've always been such a loser. Because the sinful side of yourself wants you to believe that. Because you know what losers do? They tend up going out and living lives that lose. They lose time, they lose energy, they lose all kinds of things. They lose themselves to themselves. And so Jesus comes and he saves us, and he gives us his Spirit. I mean, from there, from 7, you go into 8, and like I said, 8 is called the Christian Declaration of Freedom. It begins with no condemnation, and what does it end with? No separation. There's nothing, no height, no width, no depth, no nothing in all of creation that can separate you from the love of Christ Jesus. It's a Christian Declaration of Freedom. There's nothing you're going to hear from Jesus that's going to be condemning, and by the way, there's nothing that can separate you from Jesus because that's how much he loves you. And sandwiched into the middle in Romans chapter 8 is all about, well, at least at our church, we're only up to about verse 11 and 8. But it's all about the Spirit that dwells inside of you, the power of the Spirit that dwells inside of you. By the way, it says that you're in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, that means that Christ Jesus is in you. You know, think about that verse in Colossians chapter 3, I think it's verse 4, where it says, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you'll appear with him in glory. That means that there's opportunities in every single step that you'll bring glory to God because Christ is in you. You're clothed in him. Another one in Colossians I love, I think it's 1:20, which says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And if we understand what hope is in the biblical framework, hope is the strong expectation of something. So Christ is in you, the hope, the strong expectation that will produce glory. And it'll produce glory to who? To God. The problem is, many of us, because we're saying, I want more, I want more, I want more, I want more. You know why you want more? Because you want to do it in your own strength so you can bring glory to yourself. You can bring glory to yourself. And you know what? I know people who are trying to serve God, and they're doing that in their own strength. They're trying to accomplish something, and you can't accomplish anything of any value in your own strength. You're going to fall apart. You don't have that kind of energy. What would Jesus do? Jesus would go the extra mile. You know why Jesus would go the extra mile? Because Jesus had a strength that we don't have. He was tapping into the Father. He was tapping into the Spirit. You and I, in our own strength, can we do what Jesus did? No way. You know why? Because my strength is limited. My strength is right here. Yet, through his presence, through his power, through Christ in me, I can do immeasurably more than I can imagine. Immeasurably more than I can. That's why when you guys do go through something and you get on the other, I hear people say this to me all the time. They say, I don't know how I got through that. You're right. You don't know how you got through that because in your limited framework, your limited strength, and your limited power, you never would have made it. You'd have crashed. You'd have burned. You'd have fallen apart. You would have exited. But you made it through because the power of the Spirit is so much greater than your own limited, finite power.
Yeah, and I'm thinking how oftentimes we fail to lean into the Spirit. Like you said, we're so consumed or preoccupied with self. Me, my strength, my abilities, my gift sets, you know, my quiet time today strengthen me. And it's all really about leaning into him.
Yeah, you know, and even the languages that we use. I mean, you know, at our house, I was just thinking about it last night when I was thinking about some of these thoughts. We always say my devotional time, our devotional time. I don't know. Maybe it's splicing hairs. And some of you will go, well, you know, I mean, come on, Jason. But for my own benefit, I'm going to start saying his devotional time because it's a time when I'm devoting myself to him. And I think the problem is, I was thinking about Lent, and I think what the problem is that we love the tradition, we love the legalism, we love the law, we love those things because we understand how to do them. It's written there, we go, hey, I get it. Devotional, every day, I got to read this thing, okay, thank you, God. But instead, I think we focus on the thing. I focus on getting through the devotion more than I focus on being devoted to God.
Yeah, we
God.
Can check it off so we right. follow our Christian ease.
Right. And so, look, if I take away, maybe if I even just subtly take away the fact that it's my devotional time, and now I say it's his devotional time, then maybe I'm going to knock down kind of the fence on how long it should be. I'm going to knock down the fence on how much it should be. And by the way, when I say how much it's going to be, that's not like suddenly you become some Bible stud and you're reading like 7 chapters in your devotional time. No, maybe that means that instead of reading a whole chapter like you think you ought to, now you're just reading 3 verses. But those verses are like it's like you're wringing a wet sponge, you know, because there's so much that you're getting from that because you're not trying to get through it. You're trying to get it. You're trying to get into it.
And you're being receptive because it's his study or
right.
his devotional, and suddenly right. the framework is off of yourself. What am I going to do?
It's no longer my strength. It's no longer how do I get through it? How do I make it happen? Suddenly it's like, Lord, what can you do that I can totally not do? Which I'm just going to be honest with you. If I go down the list, okay, that's most of it. That's most of it. I'm a, can I say crappy?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Look at.
Guess we just did.
I'm probably kind of a crappy parent apart from the Holy Spirit. I would venture to say it. I haven't parented apart from the Spirit, but I think if I was, I probably would be. I think I'm probably pretty bad at finances apart from the Holy Spirit. I think I'm probably pretty bad at being generous apart from the Holy Spirit. I think if I go down the list, I think everything in my life, if I do it apart from the Holy Spirit, it's not as good. It's not as profitable. It's not as beneficial. It doesn't reap the same results. So everything that you do. By the way, it says, what does it say in Philippians? The coffee cup verse in Philippians. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The Bible says all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, take that verse and play it backwards. That means Christ's strength is required in all things.
Mm-hmm.
That means there's not anything you think you can do that doesn't require his strength. Sometimes getting out of bed in the morning just requires the strength of Jesus, right?
Yeah. But we get so self-consumed, self-absorbed, it's all about me. Yeah,
it's all about me.
Yeah.
This is when you're going to go like, but SRN News.
Yes. It's all about them.
SRN News.
Yeah. But we hope you gleaned something today. Certainly draw on his strength. Allow him to equip you for this very day, as he desires to work in and through you. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.